A little over a year ago, a cross-section of leaders from our church, elders and council and ministry leaders, that we sat down and with the goal of articulating our mission, the goal of articulating our reason for existence. Why has God called Parkside Church to be in existence? And Olivia, you can throw that slide up there. And this is how we articulated, how we discerned the very reason for our existence as a church. And it says this: Parkside Church exists to continue the ministry of Jesus in our homes, church, city, and world. Now, the biggest area that needs the most explanation is that phrase, ministry of Jesus, because that is the most loaded component of that one sentence. But the word that I actually want to focus on today is actually that word, continue. Now, in due time and in various ways, we will begin to unpack and deploy this mission statement in very specific, very intentional, very accountable, and very collaborative way. More so than we've ever done in our previous 21 years as a church in existence here in the City of Mission. But like I said, I want to draw our attention to this word continue, because for me it was at least the most difficult word to articulate in this statement. Because at first read, it kind of comes across as boring. My purpose as a Parksider is to continue. I wanted something exciting like extend, expand, build, manifest, increase, or something like that. And yet, we kept coming back to this word continue. And then it hit me what really bugged me about the word continue. Isn't that it was kind of boring, but it wasn't glamorous. It wasn't definitive. It wasn't triumphant. Because I find no one in their flesh wants to be just part of continuing something. We love beginnings. We love endings. We dream of ideas. We like getting the paper out to plan things and just dreaming and think, this is going to be awesome. I'm a part of this. I was there, ground zero, you know, first day there, I was there, and we dreamed up something awesome. Everybody likes to be a part of either the beginning or the end, because the end is the finished product, and you're like, yeah, look at what we built. Look at what we did. We love the beginning and the end, but the part in the middle, that's just tough slugging. It's not so glamorous. It's you're going off of the drawings, and you're going off of the blueprints, but you're one piece of the puzzle, and you're doing, you know, a part that is just going to be covered up by drywall one day, and it's just like, does this even matter? The practice of continuing, the part of the middle, just isn't so glamorous. And yet, when you study Scripture and you read the Bible from cover to cover, the church is in precisely a season of the middle. We're in between two very important universal events. We live in between Christ's ascension. After his resurrection, he ascended to heaven. And before he ascended to heaven, he said, I will come back. And so that's the second event, his return, that day, the day that the Bible describes. We as the church live in between those two things, his ascension and his return. We're in the middle. And as with all the Christians that went before us, as they went before us and served and followed the Lord and yet died not seeing the final product, so too it might happen with us. And if Christ waits another generation or two or ten before he returns, we too will give our lives as Parksiders to King and Kingdom and never see the end result in our lifetime on this planet. Now, we do hold to the certain hope that one day, there will be that day, and we will be there on that day when Christ returns, and we will see the final product. But there just might be a very long wait between now and then. And it's not easy waiting. It's not easy doing the in-between work, because it becomes so easy to become either disengaged or disenfranchised. Yet regardless, each generation of the church is charged, is called to, the ministry of continuation. That is, that we are responsible in our day, in our season, in this age, to ensure that the gospel, the good news, the ministry of Jesus, is picked up from those that went before us and then is passed on to those that follow. We actually read about this concept in our text from last week. You can throw that up on the screen. I want us to contemplate this morning 1 Corinthians 11:23, the first phrase. Paul says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you." Now, the immediate context of what Paul's talking about here is the sacrament, the tradition, the instruction that Jesus gave us as a church to practice, the sacrament of communion. And this church in Corinth had gone off the rails. They'd gone off the blueprint of what Paul had instructed them to do. They were letting the rich go first and getting full, and then the poor would come along after, and there wouldn't be enough food left over for them. They were not representing, they were not being faithful to the gospel in which they had received, the traditions and the way of Jesus. They were not being faithful to that. They were not passing on to others an accurate transmission of the gospel. They had changed what Paul had taught them and said, okay, this is not so glamorous, this is not so fun, doing this work of living for the king and building the kingdom. Let's get a little something for ourselves here along the way. So Paul actually wrote this entire letter, this one phrase is found in the letter of 1 Corinthians to the church in Corinth. Paul spends this entire letter teaching them, teaching this church how to get the gospel right. Because Paul wants them to benefit from the gospel in the present day, but just as important, perhaps even more important than that, he wanted to ensure that the gospel was passed on. When Paul dies, that the gospel would be passed on in its true, pure form to those that would follow. And this church and these Christians would be faithful to that. See, Paul understood and understands the place of the church in this era, in this season of time. The church plays a critical role as a vehicle of salvation. We are not salvation ourselves, but we carry the gift of salvation within us, both to our peers and to those that will follow. Here's the sobering truth. We as Christians carry the power to either help or hinder the gospel. If we give into our flesh, more of us, more of our neighbors, more of our kids will go to hell. But if on the opposite side of that, if we yield our lives to the Spirit of God, to the truth of the gospel, to living that out, more of us, more of our neighbors, more of our kids will go to heaven. To think that I can be either a help or a hindrance to my kids receiving and living the gospel is humbling and awesome. To think that God would entrust me with such an important gift, an important role, that my children's eternal destination and my children's present day outlook on God and enjoyment of Him can either be helped or hindered by how faithful I am to the truth and the purity and the life and power of the gospel is humbling and awesome. That God would entrust such a precious gift to me and to you to steward. Jesus said, you will receive power. This kind of power to actually influence and share and experience and transmit the life-changing power of the gospel. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. We as the church have been given the power to be a witness or a wall to the gospel. And it's by God's design and provision that Parkside Church is to be a light in the darkness. We sang about that so well. Thank you, Ron. To be a light in the darkness. It's our choice. He leaves it up to our decision of whether or not we want to allow that light to shine. And we shine that light when we do good works in His name, and we hide that light when we give in to self and sin. That's what's behind this word, this one word in our mission, this one word of continue. We receive what Jesus gave to those who went before us, and then we give it, or more accurately, live it, unto those that follow. Your life as a Christian is that of either an analogy could be a conduit or a pipe. Again, not so attractive, but that's the reality. And as you plug in or connect with Jesus, his Spirit flows through you and connects to others and pours throughout onto others. And in Christ, he has given us the permission and the provision to see his life, his love, his healing, his forgiveness, his generosity. We just practiced it now with those little cards, to allow his generosity, God's generosity towards some teenager that we don't even know their name of, to allow his generosity to flow through us, to allow his faith, to allow his hope and joy to flow through us to others. Now, the term or analogy of a conduit or pipe is accurate, but it's also bland when you're talking about the beauty of the Christian life. I find a better analogy is more like that of a tree. The Christian is more like that of a living, fruitful, thriving tree, rooted in Christ, conduit, drawing up nutrients, and then flourishing in Christ and producing fruit in Christ that becomes a blessing to others. It becomes a blessing to the nations. And in that blessing, in that fruit that tastes so good, is what our world is desperate and dying for. In that blessing, in that gift of offering or whatever, or forgiveness or of joy that we give in Christ to others, there is a seed that is planted, just as we see in our natural world. When you receive an apple, there's a seed in there, and it carries the capacity, that one little seed, through that one little blessing of a fruit, carries the capacity to grow into a whole new fruit tree that multiplies and distributes even greater amounts of fruit. That is the act of continuing the ministry of Jesus. It is the same act of receiving and delivering that Paul described in our verse here. The Greek word that Paul used for receive is paralambano. It's a fun word, paralambano. But what it means is even more exciting. It means to inherit and to take over as an office, like as a title or an area of oversight, an officer or a ruler. And it's a perfect word to describe a function of continuing, a function of the church. And I love that it includes this idea of an inheritance. Because if you reflect on the nature of an inheritance, it is something that we receive not necessarily because of what we have done, but simply by nature of our birth, that we are entitled to that inheritance. Not of our own doing, but simply of being born into a family. We're eligible now for that inheritance. And likewise, Christ chooses us. He adopts us into his family. And now we are born again into his family. And we now receive an inheritance in Christ. Not because of our great works or our own doing, but simply from allowing Christ to work in and through us and give us the gift of his life and salvation. And we now bear his name. More important than your last name, more important than your first name, is that you as a Christian bear Christ's name. And you now primarily identify as one of his kids, in his family, in his kingdom. You've inherited the riches of Christ on this planet. You have now been charged with the office or the position of a ruler to steward that inheritance on this earth in this season. And what's wonderful about the next word that Paul uses after this word of receive, which means inheritance and rule that inheritance, is the next word that he uses in this part of continuing is that of delivery or delivering something. And it, again, ties up the other end of this word continue. The Greek word that Paul uses for deliver is paradidomi, another fun word. And it means to hand over. Not just hand over in partiality, but hand over in totality, in a complete transmission. Which also teaches us that the ministry of continuing Jesus is to not only receive the gospel from the previous generation in its totality. We don't get to pick and choose which part of the gospel that we like. And likewise, we don't get to pick and choose what part of the gospel we share with others. To be a faithful recipient and a faithful delivery boy or girl of the gospel is to give all of it and to make sure that the transmission is complete. This word deliver doesn't mean I put a couple verses on Facebook, so now I've evangelized the world. I've said my piece to my sister or my brother-in-law or my cousin or my neighbor, and I shared a few verses from Romans. I told them they're going to hell, and that they need Jesus, and now I can wash my hands. I'm clean. Their blood is not on my hands anymore. That's not what this means. It doesn't mean, I rang the doorbell, man, nobody answered in the first 2 seconds, and so I just left the track and went away. That's not what this means. It's so much more than that. This word means that we are to not stop delivering until a complete transfer has been made. Until every man, woman, and child knows the joy of our salvation, we will not stop. Until my child, my friend, my coworker, or neighbor is head over heels in love with Jesus and living entirely for him, I will not stop discipling him or her. I need to know that they have received the gospel in its entirety. They know the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus. See, we're not regular UPS men that just say, okay, give up and maybe I'll come back 2 or 3 times and then forget it, your parcel's going back to the sender. We're the kind of UPS men and women that not only do we ring the bell and ensure that they sign for it, but we go in the house with them. We walk into their kitchen and we unpack the box and we help them set it up and we walk through the manual with them and we help them train in how to use it. And then we come back every day to ensure that they're using it and using it properly. And if they don't know how, that we show them with our lives how we daily use what we have delivered to them. That they might know that they know that they know what the gospel is. That they might live day in and day out the truth and the life and the joy and the goodness of the gospel in their home and in their heart and in their lives. That's what's wrapped up in these two words of receive and deliver. That's what's wrapped up in our one word in our mission of continue, is this aspect of receiving and delivering. We deliver. Oh boy, do we deliver. Better than UPS. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs sometime in the next few months, and you'll see what continuing the ministry of Jesus really looks like. You'll see that it requires and entails dying to self, maybe even physical death. Did you know that the verse that I quoted earlier was from Acts 1:8, when he says, "You will receive power to be my witnesses," the Greek word for witness is actually where we get the word martyr from. That it's a literally dying to self, that this package might get delivered accurately and completely to the next person, from our life to another. And so it's with this in mind that I'd like us as a church to consider something that I've been contemplating as it relates to the mission of Parkside Church, as it relates to our mission as Parksiders. And I want to shift here in this sermon, in this message, I want us to shift the remaining minutes of our time to consider a way in which this mission might look in the future days at Parkside. And what it has been, I've mentioned it before, it's been on my mind and heart for the last little while, for us as a church to consider adding a second Sunday morning service at Parkside, to have two services on a Sunday morning. And while in my flesh, it's the last thing that I would ever want to do, it just means more work, and it means more people. And when you're a pastor, more people equals more problems. I can't help, you guys aren't the problem, it'd be other people, right? I can't help, though, strongly consider the way in which doing so, of going down perhaps this path, could create more space for more people to find and to follow, to receive the gift of Jesus. And that it would allow and create more opportunities for current Parksiders, you guys, the ones with no problems, okay, to be stretched. And in stretching, find greater growth and greater life and love for God and others. And yet, I also recognize that my ideas are often improved by the counsel of many. And my ideas are only so good to the degree that we as a church say, yeah, we're in agreement and we want to do this. You know, I can have lots of ideas, but if we're not all working together, they might as well just stay on the shelf. Now, in a couple of minutes, our ushers are going to hand out a survey that I want us to complete here in this service. And we'll go through one question at a time. And if for some of you, this might just be a complete shock. You'll be like, well, I've got to do a survey. I got to know my answers to these questions right this second. Slow down, okay? Take a breather. If you feel rushed in this and you don't want to give an answer yet, that's okay. You can just walk through it with us together, fold it up, put it in your pocket, and bring it back next Sunday or the following week. We'll give you till the 24th of September to get your responses in. As well as for people like Steve that are away today, that won't get this piece of paper, this survey, we have a link online as well that we'll publish as well. I think it's in your newsletter, but we'll also put it on our Facebook and email newsletter as well, that you can complete the survey online as well. If you're a guest here this morning, or really new to Parkside, welcome. This isn't a normal thing that we do. You can just walk through it as a silent witness to it all. Or if you want to, you're like, yeah, I think if you want, you can just answer the questions too. I always love having a fresh set of eyes on our church family. It's refreshing. And so if you want to fill out as well, that you're more than welcome to complete the survey as well. Once the survey is done over these next couple of weeks, we're going to publish the results, not your personal answers, but the kind of the summary of it all, the totals of them, of all of our answers. And then we'll schedule a meeting for anybody who wants to come to discuss the results and answer questions that might happen. And then after that meeting, our cross-section of leaders, our elders and council ministry leaders, will sit down to debrief on the meeting that took place, to debrief on this survey and its results, and then discern what is the right way for us to go as a church. So, before we distribute, though, that survey, I want to answer three questions for you. The first is this: why this crazy idea of two services? The why now? And then thirdly, how might this impact you? So the first question is why? Why are we considering this? Well, it's because Christ in us moves us to make space for more people. The heart of the gospel is to increase and to expand, to continue into more lives, into more homes, into more people. That's the first part. More and more people are moving to mission. There's a development just literally 100 feet up the road from us that's going to have 36 new families that'll be moving in probably a year's time from now. You know, when pregnant or planning for another child, we have a few options when it comes to space. We can, you know, get the baby room all built and ready ahead of time. Or we can scramble after the fact and get the baby room after the baby arrives. Or we can just forget the baby room altogether and put the baby in the dining room and just say, sorry, you're the third kid. The first two got bedrooms. We love you just as much as we love those other two, but sorry, you don't get a bedroom, okay? There's kind of three options here. But our call to continue the ministry of Jesus must include reaching more people. Our call to continue the ministry of Jesus means delivering the gospel to the next generation. And that's the second thing that I answer this question of why this crazy idea of two services. Because our kids will better hear and better see the gospel, both in smaller class sizes and in a church that puts the lost above their own comforts. Also, because it would create opportunities for more of you to serve on Sunday mornings, and yes, that's a good thing. We grow and we deepen our faith and our love for God and one another through service, through being stretched. Also, because we would be more encouraged to invite friends or neighbors to church. And we'd do special Sundays where that would be an extra emphasis to invite more of our neighbors, more of our friends and family to church. And because of this stage of our church's maturity, I believe it's a more practical, logistical step than planting a whole other church. That's another option that we could do, is plant a church. But I think this is a good step between here, where we are today, and the one day of planting another church. The second question that I want to answer is, why now? What I mean by now is it could be in the next month, next 4 months, or a year from now. I don't know. But in relatively near future, Lord willing, should we be still on this planet in the next month to a year, that's kind of what I'm meaning by now. Our leaders would discern the best timing for this. In hindsight, we probably should have done this about 15 years ago. The older we get, the harder it is to change. But churches that don't change, churches that don't adjust and shift their focus from themselves to those outside of their walls, eventually die out. A healthy church grows because they're flexible and they're willing to change and they look beyond their own four walls. It's also good timing in that many areas, most areas in our church, we actually have more volunteers willing to serve than we have positions for them to serve. Quite frequently, we pass around a clipboard to help out, and we get all these people that sign up for this four positions or six positions. Like, we need to create more positions. Well, this is one way that could happen. It's also good timing in that more people are moving to mission, more people are moving to this part of the world. And did you know this? Many missionites, many of our neighbors, are secretly inviting, hoping that you'll invite them to church. In fact, I've been so embarrassed by this at my own kids' school. I have parents that come up to me and say, "Hey, you're a pastor, right?" "Yeah, I'm a pastor." "And you're a pastor at Parkside Church?" "Yeah, I'm a pastor at Parkside Church." "When are you going to invite me to church?" Whoa. But part of that problem, though, too, is I think, okay, well, I know your kids, and they're a handful. And I think of Diane, and I think of her team of teachers and helpers, and do I want to inflict that on them? They've already got their hands full with 12 kids, just two more of yours, and they're going to be, you know. We need to create smaller class sizes so that there's a little more space in the tank for other people, okay? It might have been a little too much information there, I don't know. Also, I believe that our church in this season, in this of our church, is uniquely equipped and ready to be stretched in this way and at this time. The third question that I want to answer is, how might this impact you? Well, if we went to two services on a Sunday morning, your morning routine and schedule would change because there would be a change in service time. You also wouldn't see the exact same faces every Sunday that you do now, but there would be ample time to connect in between the two services and a new opportunity to actually meet and make new friends. And you wouldn't feel rushed out. We create enough space in between, or rushed out, that you're like a, you know, just, you know, a product in the system. Church is a product to be consumed. You know, shoo, get out so that we can get the next group of people in. We would fight hard to create enough space so that wasn't the case. As well as, how could this impact you? Is in a positive way, you might take advantage. One of the plans would be is that we'd, either during the first or the second service, we could start offering an adult class on a specific topic that was needed, whether it was, you know, a parenting class or a financial class or how to read the Bible class or how to hear God's will or whatever. You can run little programs and stuff like that concurrently with one of the services. You also could be asked to serve a little more over the first 6 to 12 months of that change, or a little bit differently than you have served in the past. The way that we do coffee, for example, might change, or usher might change. So those are the ways that it might impact you. So I'm going to invite the ushers. We're going to distribute this communion. It is a communion in one sense. A survey. Hopefully you have a pen as well. And we don't have hard surfaces for you to write on, so use your neighbor's back or your flex your thigh muscle or something like that. And if you don't have a pen either, I think they were given out with newsletters, but again, maybe pass it back and forth between your neighbor. I've got a few extras here as well. And if this is all too much to take in today, I get it. Just follow along and take it home with you and bring it back next week or 2 weeks from now. We are also going overtime this morning, so again, I appreciate your patience here as well. And actually, Jason, I'll need one as well because I didn't put one up here. Lord, you know our days. You know our future. And Lord, you know the way that we are to go And so, Lord, I pray that even here and now, or in the couple weeks to come, that we would be faithful to hear and discern your voice, and that we'd be obedient, regardless of whether we loved it or hated it, liked it or disliked it. Would we be faithful and trust you? So, Lord, we look to you to lead this church, not me, and not even our elders or our council, although they can play a significant role in that. Lord, you are our pastor, you are our shepherd, and you need to lead us. So, Lord, would you lead your church today and in the days to come? Help us, Lord. Amen. Okay, hopefully you should all have one of these. So we're going to go through them one by one. The first question is this. Do you agree that our church needs to make more space, primarily in the lobby, kids' classes, and parking lot, so that more families can join us and our kids can have an even better learning experience? So you can write, you can circle, strongly disagree, disagree, agree, or strongly agree. The second question is, adding a service would change the current feel of our church, i.e., you might not see the same faces. Are you willing to embrace this change for the sake of reaching more of our community? Strongly agree, disagree, agree, or strongly agree. The third question is, if we were to add a second morning service on Sundays, would you be willing to invite a neighbor or friend to join you at church? Again, strongly disagree, disagree, agree, or strongly agree. The fourth question, do you believe that adding a second morning service would overwhelm our current volunteers and leaders? And what I mean by overwhelm is like it would kill them. Okay, like they'd give up, they'd quit. Maybe not like literally kill them. Maybe some of them would, I don't know. Again, strongly disagree, disagree, agree, or strongly agree. Question number five, do you believe that creating a need for more volunteers will be a positive stimulus to more Parksiders serving on a Sunday morning? Again, two services means more opportunities to serve. Do you think that's a positive thing for Parkside? Strongly disagree, disagree, agree, or strongly agree. Question number six, if we were to add a second morning service on Sundays, would you be willing to attend one and serve in the other, making your whole Sunday morning longer here in this building, whether it was ushering, teaching Sunday school, coffee service, prayer, whatever? Again, strongly disagree, disagree, agree, or strongly agree. Flipping over to the other side now. If we were to add a second morning service on Sundays, would you prefer to attend the first or second service, i.e. 9 a.m. or 11 a.m.? By the way, those times are not necessarily, if this were to go through and we were to do this, add a second morning service, that they'd necessarily be 9 and 11. It's just an example. It could be 9:10 and 11:10 or 8:30 and 12:30. I don't know, but this is just kind of the typical for now. Question eight, if you currently serve on a Sunday morning, would you be willing to keep your current level of service or increase it for 6 months? So this is a different answer. You can circle same level or increase for 6 months or not applicable. You're not yet serving on a Sunday morning. Question nine, if we were to add a second morning service, would you be interested in attending an adult class during a service, i.e. parenting, how to read the Bible, etc.? Again, strongly disagree, disagree, agree, or strongly agree. Question 10, are you supportive of the idea to add a second service on Sunday morning? And then the last question, 11, if you aren't supportive of the idea to add a second service on Sunday morning, would you be willing to give it a try for a year, upon which time we'd evaluate its future? Again, strongly disagree, disagree, agree, or strongly agree. If you want to write comments, ideas, or questions there, you can as well, or you can
email them or phone them into the office throughout the 2 weeks to come. Maybe you're driving home or tonight you've got an idea, light bulb goes on, share it with us.